Welcome back to the Lash Business Lounge. I am your host, Lauren Lappin, and this is the place where we talk all things lash and beauty business related. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today is part two of my Instagram Q&A episode. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I suggest you go back and listen to it. I covered so many different content types inside of that one episode. It was a really good one. Some random stuff in there too. And I do have some random stuff coming up for you today as well. I did mention on last week's episode that it was quite interesting, some of the questions that I got asked this time, because I don't post a lot of content around, you know, lash application and things like that. All of my content is business related content. And today I've got a lot of business related content, but also my first question just was a little bit left field. And I have been asked this before, and I have experienced it for myself because I did have my own supply brand, Runway Lash Co., that I did sell in November 2022. But my first question here, which is my first random one, Nick Nass, is it necessary when you're importing chemical products like glue and lash shampoos? Now, Nick Nass is not called Nick Nass anymore. It's AICIAS or something like that. But basically, it is the Australian government authority that governs the import and distribution of chemicals in Australia. And yes, you need to be registered with this government body. If you're not, go and do it. You need to register all the chemicals. You have to have an MSDS from your manufacturer, especially for lash glue. Like, oh my God. Basically, you are essentially, if you're importing these chemical products into the country, that technically makes you the manufacturer and you're liable if anything goes wrong. So if you're selling it to lash artists and then, you know, they make someone blind or whatever, like, I'm no lawyer, I'm no legal expert, but you could be liable because it was your product that got into that person's eye. So even though it wasn't you that physically put it there, if you're not registered with Nick Nass or AICIAS or whatever it is now, they changed their name about two and a half years ago. You know, if you're not registered, you haven't paid the fee and you don't have insurance, I'm thinking if you aren't registered with this government body, you may not have insurance for importing and selling chemical products in Australia as well. You definitely want to have that. So please don't skip this step. It is integral. And if you want your clients or your customers to take you more seriously and you want to grow and sell more, you need to do the necessary things. You have to dot the I's and cross all the lowercase T's. You can't sidestep this stuff. It is just lazy and irresponsible. You know, I would just recommend that you do this straight away, please. And for anybody else listening that may be importing chemical products and then on-selling them to lash artists or end users, you know, because I randomly, when I had Runway Lash Co., I randomly had people buying lash cleanser off my website. They must have been trying to bypass the salon or something like that. But yeah, they were buying cleanser to use on themselves. And it was a product that I imported. So you really, really need to be registered with AICIS. I just got the correct name and it's an acronym. But yeah, you need to be registered with them. Have that registration done. Pay the fee. Get some insurance for yourself. Please do the right thing and don't take shortcuts. It's not cool and it makes us look like a bunch of losers. It makes the industry look like we're not professional when you take shortcuts and don't do the right thing. This is how people end up on, you know, A Current Affair or Today Tonight. Like it's not cool. So make sure you go and do the right thing. All right. Question two. This is one that I get all the time. Staff leaving you and starting up their own business in a small town. It's happened to me three times now. It's happened to me three times too. It happens to everybody. You know, whether you live in a small town or not, it still hurts. Even if you're in a big city, if you have a team member leave and go start up their own business somewhere close to you, it still potentially could hurt your business if you let it. Now, a couple of things here. People move on to different things, and whether they go work for themselves or they work for somebody else, people move on, and it's not always about you. A lot of the time it can be, though. If I'm trying to be politically correct here, if you are finding that this is happening and maybe it's happened 3 times to you in a short period of time, you know, perhaps you've only been in business for 3 years and you've had it happen 3 times. Like, I've had it 3 times, but that's in a 10-year period. So I suppose the odds are in my favor. I've had more staff stay with me for longer and then, you know, go off to different careers or, you know, move away or something like that than I have go and start their own business. But the same goes for if you just have staff turnover a lot as well. There comes a point where you've got to look inward and go, what's the common denominator here? Is it me? Okay. And that's a really, really important question to ask. And look, I am answering this in a really broad way because there might be business owners listening to this that, you know, they have had really bad luck with staff. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but is it bad luck or is it you? If your main complaint about your business, why you can't grow or why you can't get anywhere or you can't do anything or things keep happening to you or whatever, you know, is it your fault? Is it that you didn't develop that team member properly? Is it that you didn't motivate them properly? Is it because you were stingy and you didn't pay them enough or you were trying to cut corners around pay and things like that? I've heard a lot of real horror stories from staff that have come to work for me from other salons. And, you know, it's great because I just add it to my little mental list of things not to do to your staff. And yeah, I think it's really important to look inward and ask yourself, are you the problem? And I've had to do this myself in years gone by. You know, I had a lot of staff issues early on and it was my fault because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I didn't know how to manage people. Where do we learn to manage people? Nowhere. What examples are we set? We don't have any. We go to school and we're dictated to by teachers and then, you know, you might go work in a supermarket or a fast food chain or something like that when you're a teenager, and usually you're treated by shit by an unfair boss. So what examples do we have to go on? It's so interesting, and I could speak on this for a long time. I'm really obsessed with becoming a better leader and bettering yourself so that your team are better as well, and then in turn all your clients are happy. You know, there's a lot to be said for what Sir Richard Branson says about, you know, you looking after your team first and then all your, you know, that your clients are going to be looked after, right? Because it's a flow on effect. But of course, I was my biggest problem, but I was happy to blame it on my team back in the day. You know, 2017, 2018, you know, I had so many staff issues because I didn't know how to hire properly. I hired people for their expertise and the certificates that they had. I didn't hire based on personality and work ethic and, you know, their job history and things like that. I was picking the wrong people. I also was a people pleaser. I said yes to everything and in turn I got walked all over. And whenever the day come that I actually did say no to something, they would just fly off the handle and quit because, oh, Lauren's an awful boss. You know, because they'd been used to things being a certain way, and that is being told yes all the time. And when I turn around and said no to something, they can't handle it because it's something that they're not used to. So I also didn't communicate things properly. I kept everything in my head. I didn't trust them. I was a control freak. I still am, but I'm so much better than what I used to be. I micromanage every aspect of my business. And when people feel like they're stuck, there's no place for them to grow, there's no career progression for them, they're usually going to go somewhere else. They're going to become unhappy and they're going to go somewhere else. If they're constantly being micromanaged, they're going to be unhappy and they're going to go somebody else. If they're not being adequately compensated for the work that they're doing, they're going to become unhappy and they're going to go somewhere else. If they feel like they're constantly left out of the loop, so you're not communicating effectively with them, they're going to feel unhappy and they're going to go somewhere else. And whether that is they go work for another salon or they start up their own, same diff really to me. I see that as a loss both ways. But you need to look inward, and I would suggest if you are struggling with these things and if you can self-reflect and go, yeah, maybe it is me, this keeps happening, the same thing, maybe I need some help with my leadership. And I would definitely suggest reaching out to a coach or a mentor, maybe doing some training around leadership and team building, team motivation, all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's one part of my answer. If it's happening and the problem's not you, you know, if you have sat down and had a really hard think about it and you still think, no, like each occasion this happened, it was very different. I don't think the common denominator is myself. I know I'm a good boss and I know that I've done everything I could to make that person happy and they still left. It could just be a run of bad luck with staff. But I don't know. I still think that if someone worked for you for a lengthy period of time, you know, I'm saying 2 years plus, and then they went and worked somewhere else, or they worked for themselves, I don't see that as a complete write-off or a complete loss or something you should be really, really upset about, because especially if that person earned a decent amount of money for you inside of that time, that's still a win. And you learn something from every experience with every different team member that you have inside your business. So I like to look at the positive side. I also don't like to look at other businesses in town, whether they're new or they're old or whatever. I don't follow anyone. I don't engage in conversation about them. If someone comes in and goes, oh, have you seen what such and such is doing now? They copied your Facebook post. I just go, yeah, cool, no worries. And then I'll change the subject because it's not worth my time thinking about it. If I'm looking at people that used to work for me now that went out on their own, if I'm wasting my days looking at their social media content or their service menus, or I'm comparing my website to theirs, it's a waste of my life. And it's a waste of, you know, my energy and mental capacity worrying about it. So I would suggest to just focus on you, focus on your business. Don't engage in conversation about anybody else. Don't look at their socials. Don't follow them. You don't need to. And also too, I will just add to my first point, if you keep finding that people are leaving and go starting their own business, you also need to consider the fact that you might need to improve the working situation. So, I mean, I did touch on it just before regarding, you know, communication and motivation and career progression and all of that sort of stuff. But you need to make your salon a place where they want to stay. You need to make it so good for them, they're actually not thinking, oh, I can do this better myself. Because I know when I left the salon that I was working in and decided to go work from home, and then I eventually started my own salon, you know, I was thinking about the conditions and the way that they did things and the pricing and the systems or lack thereof. And I knew that I could do it better myself. So you're never going to get away from people thinking things like that. But I think it's important to be open to suggestion and let your team know that you're open to suggestion as well. So I routinely say to people, hey, if you can see some area of this business where you think we're falling down and you've got a better way to do it, a better system or a better process or a better product or a tool or whatever, if you have any suggestions, if you think something's unfair, if you want equipment replaced or whatever, come to me and let me know, because I want people to be working in an environment that's good, that they don't want to leave. But yeah, I think, you know, be open to suggestion, let your team know that you are very open and to feel comfortable coming to you with anything that any query or problem or whatever it is, make sure they come to you straight away. Be very open to them contacting you whenever and letting you know. So a few things there, like I said, it could just be a run of bad luck. You really need to look at yourself though in your business. You need to take a long, hard look and maybe look for some similarities in, you know, each occasion where someone has left. If there are similarities between them all and the sort of the same thing happened, I would definitely take a long, hard look at yourself and your business and maybe work on your leadership skills and work on, you know, some strategies for, you know, motivating your team and keeping them happy. And also too, if they do leave, which look, some people might have always had that in the plan. They're always going to have their own business. It's very important to just focus on you and not let it worry you. So I hope that helped and I wasn't too harsh. All right. We've got two more questions around team, which is nice because it's one of my favorite subjects to speak on. But I've got here the question, what to say to clients when their therapist leaves and is opening their own clinic down the road? Now, I don't have a set script here for you, but you need to decide whether you want to handle this the adult and, you know, responsible way or whether you want to handle it really badly. Now, before we get into it, I'll give you an example of handling it really badly. I used to work at this salon. It was the first salon that I ever worked at. And it was quite a big salon. I think there was about 11 staff and, you know, we had 7 or 8 treatment rooms. And anyway, there was a really popular therapist that worked there when I started. And, you know, she was always booked out, sold a lot of retail products. The clients absolutely loved her. And you know, she was a really great gal. And anyway, she quit and went to another salon. Did she go to another salon or she went and did real estate or something? I think, I can't remember. It was like 15 years ago. But when she left, I actually witnessed my boss telling a client, and I shouldn't laugh about it because it is just so outrageous, but I actually witnessed my boss telling a client who asked where this girl had gone that she'd been in a car accident and she wasn't working for the foreseeable future. Like, what the hell? That is not the way you handle this, please, okay? So if anyone is telling big elaborate lies to try and deflect or diffuse the situation, please don't. I recommend being an adult and just telling the truth. If you don't know, you don't know, okay? So I've definitely been in the situation where, as I just mentioned with the last question, I've had a few staff leave and start their own business in the same town. And I had people coming in and said, oh, where's such and such gone? And I'm like, oh, you know, she's having a holiday and then she's thinking about getting a job at, you know, this office place, or maybe she's thinking about being a travel agent. This was a fair few years ago, by the way. And, you know, that was the truth at the time. That's what she had told me and that was what I was going off. And then she kind of announced on Facebook a couple of weeks later that she was starting her own business. And yeah, I felt like an idiot because I told those clients what I was told and it made me look like I was lying, which I wasn't. And I would hate to think that anyone would think that I was lying, especially my salon clients that had been really loyal. So as soon as I knew that, I was telling people the truth. You know, they would come in and they would go, oh, where's such and such gone? And I'd be like, oh, look, you know, well, she thought she wanted a change in direction, but turns out she's actually starting her own salon. Oh, okay, no worries. And look, most people that asked me stayed at the salon. Like they continued to be a client. And I find that the people that are in the know, they know what's going on, they're not going to come into the salon and ask you where that person's gone because they want to follow them. They're 9 times out of 10, that client's already gone. You know, they're not asking you that question. They're not even coming back. So I think just be honest. You don't need to tell them where it is and what the business name is and all that sort, and give them a contact details. I mean, you can if you want to, but if I was you, I would just be like, oh yes, you know, she's decided to, you know, take the leap and start her own business. Not sure when she's opening, but I'm not 100% sure on all the details, but that's what she's done. Or, you know, if you want to, you can be like, yep, I think the salon's going to be on such and such street. And just leave it at that. Change the subject. Some people just use it as a conversation starter. I think because it's real and it's raw for us and it's a bit of a sore spot, I think we're like immediately suspicious. We're like, oh my God, you know, they're asking me because they're going to go there. But I really think that if they're asking you, they're probably just asking out of interest's sake. You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to follow them. But I think at all times, honesty really is the best policy. Just be adult about it. And look, if they choose to follow her, they choose to follow her. I think that at least as a business owner, you can hold your head high and know that you've said and done the right things if you're honest. And if that client decides to follow them from your information that you've given them, they can say to that girl that left, oh yes, you know, such and such told me you'd started your own business and that you were here. So yeah, I thought I'd book in. And you know, your ex-staff member's probably going to be like, oh, well, that was nice of her. You know, and there's not going to be any animosity there. You're going to look like an idiot if you give someone the wrong information, or you lie about it, or you say, no, I'm not permitted to say, or I refuse to say, or you change the subject or something like that. And then that client does seek that person out eventually. And then they go in there and they go, oh, well, she didn't tell me. She told me that you're in a car accident, but here you are down the road, you know, in this beautiful new salon. And you know, they have a bit of a laugh about it. But it's just, I think honesty is the best policy. Handle it like an adult. Be honest. If they have questions, it's not always because they're going to follow them. They just might be interested, or, you know, they realize they haven't seen that person for a while, or whatever. But if they choose to follow them, they choose to follow them. There's actually nothing you can do about it. Yeah, I think be honest. Be honest, people. No car accidents, no illnesses, or no moving away that really didn't happen. Please. Okie doke. Last question for this episode. I would love any tips on how to get your team to become the biggest income earners. This is easy, easy, easy peasy. And it does go back into what I was saying in the second question about, you know, staff leaving and starting up their own business. But if you want people to perform for you, you need to incentivize them. You need to keep them happy and you need to motivate them. And I have a bonus system, an individual bonus system that I use in my salon. I've been using it for 8 years now, and it has been very, very, very effective at motivating my team and, you know, keeping them happy in terms of their wages and things like that. So I do teach my Salon Goals students this bonus system. I have a spreadsheet and, you know, a video and like a full training on how to use it. And I do teach this in one-on-one coaching as well. So, you know, if you're wanting to learn my bonus system, please feel free to reach out to me and I will teach it to you. But you need to incentivize them individually with the prospect of them earning more money. Now, most people want to earn more money. It doesn't motivate every person, but I found in my experience, probably 7 out of 10, at least 7 out of 10 people are more motivated to work harder and sell more, upgrade more, add on more, and get more returning clientele if they are incentivized to do so with the prospect of earning more money. So individual incentives, very, very, very important. And there's a lot that goes into it, but I wouldn't just be doing like retail bonuses or like, you know, it's got to be measurable. It's got to be overall client spend. Yeah, this is the best way to incentivize them to work harder and to also not just be lazy in gaps or not care that they're not rebooking clients or whatever. Like if they've got gaps throughout their week and they're just sitting around and, you know, they're doing happy doing cleaning because they don't have to talk to anyone or whatever, or they're sitting around doing nothing, annoying the shit out of you, whatever, incentivizing them with the prospect of earning more money will actually get them onto rebooking clients. They'll be wanting to push their rebooking rate up. They'll want to have people on their bed or in the chair because they know that they're more likely to earn their bonus for the week. So I highly, highly recommend having an individual bonus system implemented for all of your staff. I also have a team bonus as well. So we have a monthly revenue goal every month for the whole entire team as a whole. This is sensitive information, financial information. It's not to be shared. And obviously what the salon earns as a whole isn't what I'm walking away with in my back pocket as well. So I do share a lot of my costs with my team because I think a lot of business owners just are way too scared to share numbers with their team because they think that they're going to want to go out and start their own business. So I always like to share my costs as well because they sort of start to come back down to earth and go, oh, yeah, well, far out, like nearly half of our revenue's gone every month in wages. They're not actually looking at those high five-figure months and going, oh, geez, Lauren's loaded. She's, you know, we're making all this money for her and we only get paid this. So I always like to share all of my costs with my team as well. I'm very, very open about money, very transparent with them. And they obviously have confidentiality agreements inside their contracts as well. So they know that it is not acceptable to share those financial details outside of the business. But yeah, so we have a monthly team reward. So we have something that we work towards together. So there's the individual bonuses and then we have our monthly team rewards. So if we achieve our revenue goal by the end of the month, we have a reward that the whole team enjoys together. So those two things are paramount in getting your team to be big income earners for you. I would also say that having a happy work environment goes a really long way in having your team perform well for you as well. So if people aren't happy at work, if they don't feel like they're important or they're being heard, it's kind of like with clients, you know, like you want to make all your clients feel important and cared about so they keep coming back to you. The same thing is with your staff. You need to include them. So don't leave them out in the cold. You know, when something's happening in your business or in your life or whatever, don't, you know, not share with them because, you know, oh, they're just a staff member. I would let them in, make them feel like they're part of something. And they feel like they're part of something. They're part of a little team. The team dynamics are good. Everyone's happy and gets along well at work. The shared responsibility across all of the roles. So, you know, I really strive to make my team not feel like they're just little worker bees, you know, sticking bits of plastic on people's eyes all day, every day. I look at their strengths and weaknesses and that I like to involve them in other parts of the business. Like I have one of my therapists, she's sharing reception duties now because she is very, very good with administration. She just comes in and gets shit done. And I've recognized that in her. I have someone doing all the stock control and ordering as well, because that is a strength of theirs. I have somebody else who does the training. So, you know, if I get complaints about a particular staff member and, you know, they seem to be the same sort of complaints coming through, I will have my team trainer go and spend some time with that staff member and work on ways to improve their techniques. So I share the responsibility around. I look at people's strengths, not just their ability to wax eyebrows or tint or whatever. I look at other strengths and get them to do different jobs inside the business. So they feel like they're part of a bigger thing. And they also need to have that career progression as well. So if they're doing the same thing day in and day out and there's no opportunity for growth, there's no sort of role for them to be promoted into in the future, or you're not involving them in your social media, or you're not involving them in decisions, you know, if I want to bring a new service in, I'll put everything out on the table in a team meeting. I'll go, look, I'm thinking of doing this, blah, 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 blah. How does everyone feel? You know, if you're not communicating effectively with your team, they don't feel like they're part of something. They don't feel like they're involved. They just feel like a member of staff. They're probably not going to be happy at work, and they're probably not going to be motivated to perform at their very best. And also, lastly on this, you need to set the example as well. And the person that sent this message in, I know she is a shining example of what an amazing, you know, business owner and lash artist and boss is. But for anybody else listening, you know, you need to set a good example for your team as well. So if you're never there, or you're coming in and you are, you know, having inappropriate conversations with your clients, perhaps you didn't iron your uniform that day, maybe you didn't wear makeup, you know, if you're sitting there drinking a can of Coke at the front desk, or, you know, these are all things, by the way, that I think are incredibly unprofessional. You know, you're swearing to your client, you're, you know, just doing unprofessional things. You're not setting the example that you want your team to follow. Like, if you show up to work with the incorrect uniform on, like perhaps you wore your sneakers when you make everyone wear closed in black leather shoes, I don't know. You bend those rules and you drop your own standards, your staff aren't going to, they're not going to see you, I guess, as that shining example of what they should strive to be. And if you get cranky at them for wearing the wrong shoes after you've been doing it for the last 3 weeks, they're not going to respect you. So be the good example. Have something for them to strive for. Include them in all of your sort of business decisions and, you know, look at their strengths, and you need to incentivize them both individually and as a team so that it fosters teamwork and friendship and kinship amongst your team. Because, you know, if there's a rotten apple on your team or there's a couple, it never ever works well and you're never going to achieve big things as a business. But I think that those are, you know, really, really important things, but the two top ones being motivating them with incentives individually and as a team. But that is all I've got for you in this Q&A episode. I will let you know in my Instagram stories when I am doing another one of these. I always love doing them because they cover so many broad topics within our little niche of the lash and beauty industry. So I absolutely love it. So I'll keep you updated. But as always, let me know how you're listening to the show. If you got anything out of this, if there was any little golden nuggets, any light bulbs went off in your brain, please snap a selfie or snap a photo of wherever you are. Maybe you're walking, running at the gym. Don't do it when you're driving, please. You might be cleaning the house. Snap a selfie, make sure you tag me. Let me know what you found most interesting or what has helped you the most in this episode. Yeah, make sure you tag me though so I can see it. But that is all I've got for you today, and I will see you online soon.